I saw an interesting documentary this past week about Fort Knox in Fort Knox, Kentucky, and put a picture of it on the screen for you today. A heavily fortified structure built in 1936 to house much of the United States gold reserves. And it is amazing the security that has gone into this building. It has evolved even more over the years. And this depository, where the gold is stored, is protected, let me share with you, by layers of physical security, video cameras, armed guards, and the army units that are based there in Fort Knox, Kentucky. Including Apache helicopter gunships, other surrounding cavalry regiments and army brigades and infantry divisions totaling 30,000 soldiers at their disposal. That is just what's outside of the perimeter that you see there. And it is rumored that there are mine fields, ground sweeping radars, automated machine guns, and all those kind of things. That are there, and they are there surrounding and protecting what lies within. And what lies within, beneath the structure, with its solid walls that you see there, is a vault that has a 20,000-ton door that protects 5,000 tons of U.S. gold bullion. And 5,000 tons at today's market price, I guess, would fetch billions upon billions of dollars. And they have gone to great lengths to protect this treasure because there is so much value placed on the gold, the treasure there. They have gone to great lengths to protect it. But my question for us sitting here today is, what is it that has greater value than this gold? Well, according to the Lord, His Word is of much greater value. It is more valuable and it is eternal. You see, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that heaven and earth are going to pass away. All the gold, all that's going to melt away. God tells us that your faith is more valuable than gold and silver and precious stone. Your faith, the Word of God, is what truly matters. What do you place value on? What do you guard? And what do you treasure? I pray that we would go to great lengths, if not greater lengths, to protect and to value the treasure that is the Word of God. And so today, I just want to, by way of a prelude to the book of Acts, where we see the Word of God being unleashed, I want to share with you, in a way that I don't normally do, is just what the Bible says about the Word of God. I know that sounds unusual, but it helps us to understand what is the Word of God and why is it so important. And so, while there are many passages in Scripture that speak about it, I've selected 10 that I want to share with you throughout the Scripture and show you on the screens today about the Word of God. 10 various passages that speak about the Word of God. I want to share with you a couple of testimonies. And then I want to look at a couple of passages in the book of Acts, because this is a prelude to our study in the book of Acts, which will begin 2 weeks from today. The book of Acts is an amazing book. God has now birthed the church. And the church is God's plan, God's body, by which He intends to make disciples and reach the creation that He created for His glory. He has given the church a mission to send out and to spread the Word of God. Acts is just the beginning of what was happening, but Acts is an open book. What I mean by that is, it's really not finished, because the Acts of the Apostles, it's not really about the Acts of the Apostles. It's about the act of the Holy Spirit, the acts that He's doing in spreading the Word of God to the ends of the earth. And that is still taking place today. Listen, the Word of God, the message of God, our great treasure that builds our faith, Let me give you 10 things to think about. The Word of God is to be a daily part of our lives. Back in Deuteronomy, as the Lord is giving instructions now to His people, the nation of Israel, He says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe the Word of God, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all of His teachings, His statutes, His commandments, to keep His Word as I command you. You and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life." You see, we are to teach our children. We are to partner as a church with you as parents to teach your children the Word of God. It's your responsibility to take this treasure and impart it to your children and to your grandchildren so that they can have this eternal treasure, knowing God and making Him known all the days of your life, not just on Sunday, but as a way of life, that your days may be prolonged. Now hear, Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words, the Word of God, which I command you today, shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently. Not in a lazy, apathetic, if we find time, but diligently, because it is the great treasure. Teach them diligently to your children. Now, we do a good job of teaching sports and academics, and those things are okay, but what's the treasure? What are we imparting to our children? Teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, as a pattern of life, we're teaching and imparting these great truths that God has given us. And secondly, God's Word is active and alive. What that means, it's more current than today's newspaper. I know the words were revealed thousands of years ago. But do you know what? They were revealed by an eternal God who knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow already. And so what He teaches is more current. It's active. It's a living document. It is powerful, alive, and it is living. These words that we have on our lap today, 66 books put into one book by 40 authors over 2,000 years, really one author, the Holy Spirit, is a living and active document because it's the Word of God. And it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through to even the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and marrow. And the Word of God, because of what it is, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is active and alive. And then thirdly, the Word of God is powerful. I like what he says about that in Jeremiah chapter 23. He says, "Is not my word like a fire? Like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces." And oftentimes we think that if we're going to convince somebody of something, we need to argue with them and speak about man's beliefs and man's traditions and man's arguments and science and all those things. And God is saying, no, the power is found in my word. You don't have to defend the word of God, just unleash the word of God. It's like a lion, right? You don't have to defend the lion, just let the lion go. And it'll take care of itself. The word of God is powerful. And so the word of God is what we want to see spread. Not our wisdom, not the wisdom of man, the arguments of man. That's foolishness. The wisdom of man is foolishness compared to the wisdom of God. So often we like to read books written by men and talk about what men say. I want to hear what God says and what God has to say, because it's eternal, it's true, it's right, and it's like a fire, it's like a hammer. Fourthly, the Word of God provides right direction, and man, do we need that today. Man, this would help if our country, the nations of the world, if churches, if people, if families and individuals would understand God's Word should be the source we go to first, because God's Word speaks about parenting, living, finances, all those things, and we're quick to rush to some other source. Man, let's just Google something. Right? Rather than get that book off the shelf. Let's see what God says. Let's pray about this. God's word provides right direction, and in the political climate that we live in, especially going into the elections in November, you're going to hear a lot about issues and people's opinions about issues. Don't we want to find out what God says about issues in life? And he says, your word, oh God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're not going to let me go down a dead end. You're not going to let me crash. You show me the way. And God's word provides right direction. Number five, halfway there. God's word originated from God. I know that sounds silly, but you know what? So oftentimes you'll hear somebody say something, oh, that's just a bunch of stories written by men. That's just old stuff a bunch of old men wrote a long time ago. No. This is the living document of God, and it came from God. It didn't originate in the mind of a man. Did you hear what I said? This did not originate in the mind of a man. This is not the words of men, the traditions of men. It's so much greater than that. Do you see what you have in your lap is a great love letter from God? It is from God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He moved through men, and they wrote as he moved in them, so that it says exactly what God wants it to say. That word that's used there, theopneustos, breath, God, it's how Paul would describe the word of God. And I think of that when I open up these pages. This is the breath of God on paper. It's his love letter to me, to us as a church. It provides direction. And all Scripture originates, is given by inspiration of God. And because it is from God, it is profitable, useful for teaching, doctrine, for reproof, for correction. We need that as sinful people, don't we? For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God, that the people of God may become complete. We are incomplete. God's word is God's way to grow us up spiritually mature. We are crooked. The word of God is straight. We press ourselves into the word of God, and we become straight, conformed into the image and likeness of his Son. And sometimes we're not interested in the word of God, and God uses trials and tribulations and difficulties and pushes us into his word so that we might be then conformed and shaped into the image and likeness of his Son. We are corrected by the word of God. Please always be teachable. Always seek after God. Never become a know-it-all. You can study the word of God all your life, all the time, and just barely scratch the surface of knowing God. Pursue God, chase after God, so that we might become complete, spiritually mature, growing up, thoroughly equipped, that God might choose to use us because we are equipped for every good work, and that happens through the word of God. Number six. Now, I see everybody kind of lean in going, what happened to the font size? Man, that was just so much. I had to get it onto one screen. And it went from like font size 32 down to 28. But man, just bear with me. You'll love the next screen. But number six, I'll read it to you. It's okay. Hey, look, I'm reading off a back screen back there, you know. So, I mean, I'm just thinking, as old as I am, I sat down with somebody Friday night and they said, yeah, I know a guy. I think y'all are about the same age, as in the mid-50s and everything. And I'm sitting there going, man, I am in my mid-40s, but I'm just going to smile and nod my head. That's right. I get all kind of weird comments, man, all the time. But it made up. Somebody today said, oh, good to see you. You're looking young. Emily always loves people say, I look just like somebody. I heard that Friday night. I look just like somebody. Funny thing is, now this is not in the notes. This is free. Just listen up. Friday night, somebody comes up and says, you look like a guy I know. I'm like, heard it a million times. Oh, really? Okay, it's great. Yeah, his name's Rife Lesher. Oh, yeah. And I thought he was joking with me. He wasn't joking. He goes, yeah, a guy named Rife Lesher. I know him from back up in Maryland. I'm like, he's not kidding. He's just telling me about a guy he knows. I'm like, do you know who married Emily and I? He goes, oh, I have no idea who married you. I said, Rife Lesher. Praise the Lord. Small world sometimes. It's amazing what a small font will get you into, huh? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Paul charges Timothy. He says, Timothy, they may be interested in gladiators, sports, math, academics, mythology. They're interested in all kinds of things in the world today. You've got one subject. The subject and the source of your teaching, Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing. He will come back, and His kingdom, it's His kingdom. Timothy, you preach the word. That's your curriculum. That's our curriculum here. Preach the word. Be ready whether it's popular or not, in season and out of season. You convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Because believe it or not, Timothy, guess what? The time will come when they will not put up with, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They do not want to hear the truth of God's word. I was out Thursday night, and a businessman came up and he says, you know what? When you're living in sin, whether you're a lost person or a saved person, when you're living in sin, you don't want to hear the word of God. You want to go around people that are going to make you feel good about the sin you're in. He said, I know, because I just came out of it. He said, the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear what the Word of God says. But according to their own desires, their own sinful desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to still go somewhere, and they're going to heap up for themselves teachers who are going to tell them what they want to hear and justify their sinful action. You just go ahead and you live that way, even though it's contrary to the Word of God, and we'll tell you everything's going to be okay. Just like in Jeremiah 6 when they said, peace, peace, everything's okay. And God's saying it's not okay. What did you come here for today? I believe you came here because you know the difference between truth and error. Because you care enough to say, I do want to hear the truth. I need a word from God today. As opposed to, oh, I just want somebody to make me feel good. I mean, you can go many places if you just want to feel good, but it's the Word of God that changes you and changes me. Thank you, Pastor Ken, for that beautiful song, Ancient Words. Ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts, let the ancient words impart. So beautiful. But they will heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ears away from the truth of God's Word. I appreciated an email that I received this recently from a lady. Said, just writing to thank you and to ask you to continue to teach the Bible. It is sad to realize that more and more churches do not teach the Bible. If it were easy to find one close by, I probably would have done so, but I can't. I don't want to go to a church where my kids are simply told to be nice and be honest and hardworking, then they don't talk about the Bible. If I wanted them just to learn morals, I could have them watch Clifford on PBS. Fair enough. They said that kids couldn't learn the Word of God. Awana has proven this wrong. I got to be careful because I homeschool, and 90% of the stuff out there is a bunch of junk. I want a church to support me to give the kids a biblical worldview, and this cannot happen when they're told just to be nice but not taught the Bible. I'm sad and I'm mad that many churches, in an attempt to be relevant, have thrown out the Bible and replaced it with stuff. Some of it may be good stuff, but at the end of the day, it's just stuff. And so by trying to draw in the masses, they have driven me away. I don't have time for men's opinions. I come to church to hear the truth, and after attending a relevant church for too long, I was spiritually drained and needed to be revived by hearing the Bible along with others who wanted the same thing. Now I want to soak up as much as possible before it's no longer available in our country. And we need someone to go to the mission field, true, but we need someone who will stay right here and teach the Bible. I've never been to a church where the staff and members so obviously care about people and don't make an issue about the silly things. And then she goes on to say, the girl that cuts my hair doesn't go to church anymore. She says it's full of hypocrites who just want money. She came to the Christmas thing at the church and said, your church is different. Please continue not to be a normal church. Please continue to preach, just preach the Bible. And I appreciate that because that's what it's about, is the truth of God's Word. And I realize, listen to me, I realize people will leave when they hear hard truths and when they hear the truth of God's Word, but God will stay. And as long as God stays, we're going to be okay, aren't we? But if we compromise on the Word of God just to have a few extra folks, hey, we can win them with candy, but you know what you got to keep them with? Candy. Then you got a bunch of spiritually immature or even lost people here, and God's long gone. Because God accompanies His Word. And so the Word of God is to be the source of our teaching. Now, number 7, relief for your eyes. God's Word is trustworthy. So many people today looking for something, what's reliable? What can I trust? The Word of God. Jesus said, "Your Word, O Lord, is truth." John 17:17. And number 8, God's Word works effectively. Man, it accomplishes, it churns. It works effectively in believers. I love a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, where Paul says, "Hey, when we came, we taught you the Word of God. And praise the Lord, you received the Word of God, which you heard from us. And you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, it is the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Not who go to church, those who are believers, the Word of God working in their lives. So the Word of God works effectively, and that's why that's our curriculum. Number 9, God's Word stands forever. Unlike the Sims family minivan, which died this week, tough day, man. I think it was Tuesday, had it up at the shop. Mike Barber comes over, he's a deacon here, and he works, and he comes out, he kind of puts his arm around me, and he's like, "Got some bad news." I'm like, feeling like I'm at the hospital here, man. I'm like, I am not going to let the tear trickle down my eye over this. It's like a family member. We've had the minivan till I knew we were going to drive it to the ground, but I was just hoping 3-4 more years, right? No, the minivan died this week. Sad time. So we're trying to figure out what to do. But minivans aren't eternal. We are not eternal in the sense that there's a time where we're going to die. We are going to live forever, fortunately. But you know what? Things are going to pass away. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." I love it where it says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, he says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." What are you standing on? What is the foundation for your life? Is it sure? Is it true? Is it eternal? God's word is eternal. Man, that gold that we saw at Fort Knox is going to melt away. Your portfolio, your title, your job, those are things that are going to, they're not going to go with you. What you do on this side of eternity for the Lord will resound throughout all eternity. The Word of God will stand forever. It is an eternal Word of God. Praise the Lord. Then lastly, number 10, God's Word, believe it or not, is foolishness to those who are perishing. The Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction. Most people are going there. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few there find it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And how do other people respond to the Word? You need to know. The Word of the cross, the Word, the message of the cross. God's Word is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And we're trusting in the power of God. And we praise the Lord for that. Now, there are other passages. Isaiah 55, beautiful, how it talks about how the Word of God goes forth and how it doesn't return void. It accomplishes everything that God sent it forth to do, just like the rain that comes down from heaven. And you know what? In Joshua chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, beautiful passages where it talks about how we're to meditate in the Word of God. If we'll meditate in the Word of God and keep it, not turn to the left or turn away from it to the right, if we'll stay in it, then we will be successful as God calculates success. These passages remind us of the beautiful treasure of the Word of God. Man, I remember when I got saved some 20 years ago. Man, the guys that I were running around with in college, they were like, "What's up with this guy?" And I'm like, "Man, I have discovered something so much greater than Fort Knox." Man, they thought I was crazy. I'm giving them a Bible for Christmas. They're like, "What's wrong with this guy?" I want them to discover what I discovered. Man, I'd come home. This is before I got married to Emily. And I would just stay home and read this word and study this word. I still do love to stay up late and study the word of God. It is a beautiful treasure. And my heart for you all is that you will understand the beauty of this word. Why would you want to watch 30 minutes of some sitcom or something when you've got time for God's word? It's the Creator speaking to you, your King speaking to you. It's a living, active document. And so I even pray for myself and my kids. I say, God, would you give me a hunger for your word more than I hunger for my next meal? And man, he answers that. Man, I love to go to the word of God. And I pray for you all that God would give you a hunger for the word of God more than you hunger for your next meal, right? No breakfast until Bible, right? No Bible, no breakfast. No, I'm not legalistic like that. Y'all are going to think my kids are raised up in some crazy thing. They're being persecuted until they memorize the whole Bible. It's not like that. But as an overflow of love, you love the Lord and love His Word. Be in the Word of God. Now, there's a testimony a lady shared, and I just want to share this one with you as well. She's been visiting the Creek just a couple of weeks, and she says, please allow me to briefly express my deepest gratitude for the Richland Creek family. I'm a single woman. Never married, in my mid-30s. This is only important because it has been the previous cause of some struggles to find a church home where I truly feel a sense of belonging. And while I have been a faithful church attender at other churches for years, I have never experienced the kind of genuine, welcoming spirit and family atmosphere from the staff and members alike, which has been so immediately evident since my first visit to Richland Creek in early June. Over the past few weeks, I've participated in new member orientation, Sunday school, live, love, serve. Each experience has consistently been one of encouragement and support. Knowing immediately the fallen nature in each of us, the only reasonable explanation for my experience at Richland Creek must be that the Lord is boldly moving daily in the hearts and the lives of the people, the family, and the staff toward the Lord. This church I want to call home after turning in my final piece of something at the new members class tonight at the Ministry Expo this past Wednesday night. I am proud to be a part of the family at the Creek. Please pass along my gratitude to the staff in recognition of the impact they have made in my life in such a short time. Then she goes on to say, I truly look forward to growing and serving with the Richland Creek family and watching God's plan unfold. Not very often you hear somebody say, I'm looking forward to growing and serving in the Lord. I'm ready to serve God. I'm ready to grow in His Word. And then there's a document on my desk that somebody went out on visitation. They said, I've learned more at Richland Creek in the last several months than I have in all my journey in my faith. It's the Word of God that teaches us. Now, let me just very briefly show you a couple of passages from the book of Acts that speak of what the book of Acts is really about. Starting 2 weeks from today, we're going to be digging in line by line through the book of Acts, all 28 chapters. And it begins with the Lord giving some instructions. This is how it began. And He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. We're Jesus' witnesses, right? Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses. And first in your local area, Jerusalem, and then Judea, Samaria, and even to the end of the earth. That's God's plan. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. The book of Acts is still being written. We have a job. Do you know that you're here as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a believer? And He has given you a message, the Word of God, and He wants you to take that message and spread it all over the planet. And so the book of Acts is constantly going back to this thought. He says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. What did they speak? The Word of God. How did they speak? Boldly. And then the Word of God spread. This is God's plan. This glorifies God. This is what He wants. The Word of God to spread right here in Wake County and beyond. And the number of the disciples, because the Word of God was spreading, it multiplied greatly. Praise the Lord. Fruit for the kingdom of God, to the glory of God. and the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Now, here's an unusual passage. King Herod arrayed in royal apparel. He sat on his throne and he gave an oration to them and the people shouting, "The voice of God and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him dead because he did not give glory to God. And he died. He was eaten by worms. Oof. We've got some great stuff and some interesting and weird stuff to look at. The miracles that are unfolding as the Word of God is spreading out. It is an exciting, fascinating book that's going to rock your world and develop your theology and captivate you as we go through the book of Acts. And it says, "But the Word of God grew and it multiplied." It goes on in Acts 13 to talk about Paul and Barnabas. Man, they're going out now on mission trips. It's not just Jerusalem. Man, they're going to impact the world. They got to start spreading the word. And when they arrived, they went out, they preached about sports. No, they're talking about the weather. Great thing to talk about, but that's not their subject. They taught, they preached the word of God in the synagogues. And when the Gentiles, those who were lost, when they heard it, they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many had been appointed to eternal life, they trusted, they believed, they were saved, and then the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. How many of you in here would love to see the word of God spread all over North Carolina in a powerful way, not in a dead church way? I'm talking about in a vibrant, God is working, changing lives through prayer and the word of God. God is changing and is spreading the word. That's what God wants to see happen right here through each one of you. In your workplace, in your families, in the community, collectively as a church, let's turn this world right side up, not upside down. And the word of God was being spread throughout all the region, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Acts 17, 11. The Bereans now, when the word came to them, they were more noble. They did the right thing than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with gladness, with all readiness, but they checked the scripture to make sure that what Paul was saying was true. That's exactly what you do. You don't take anything at face value. Receive the word of God with me on Sunday morning. Yeah, I'm tracking along. But if I say something that's not right in the word of God, hey, the word of God is our authority. Make sure that what we're saying is right. You look at the Bible. And last verse. What was the result? So the word of the Lord grew mightily, and it prevailed over secular wisdom, wisdom of men, the arguments of men, all the lies that are out there. The word of God was prevailing and getting traction. We want to see that as a reality. We will see that as a reality as we pray and as we trust God. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Acts beginning in just a couple of weeks. Exciting times. Guys, listen. This is our treasure. Guard it. Protect it. Soak it up. Marinate in it. Meditate in it. That your ways may be successful. For you, your children, and your grandchildren. Generations to come. This is the legacy we want to leave in our families. Throughout this community, the Word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love letters to us, the Word of God. We rejoice and so love this great treasure, greater than the treasure that's housed at Fort Knox, I guarantee. Father, we're grateful. We ask you to stir in our hearts to understand your Word and to give us hearts that hunger. Lord, let us hunger for your Word more than we hunger for our next meal. Lord, pray that that would be true in our community as well, that this community would have an unexplainable hunger for truth, the truth of your word, and they would find it here. Lord, through your people, we ask your blessings on this message to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.